If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry and I welcome a pro wrestler who's crossed over into the mainstream to the show, and the rumors heat up once again about a certain wrestler's potential return to the business. You've seen him in Ring of Honor, but you also may have seen him on ABC's The Bachelorette. Kenny King joins us on Busted Open for the first time in almost 7 years. CM Punk was once again the talk of the pro wrestling world yesterday, as he was announced to be taking part in StarCast 3 in his hometown of Chicago during All Out Weekend. Is Punk one step closer to a return, and is AEW the place for him? All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. I mentioned about somebody making a return, and that return is CM Punk. And wait a second.
Yes.
Before people start saying, oh my God, CM Punk is coming back, he's stepping into a squared circle, pump the brakes just a little bit.
Whoa.
As broken by Justin Barrasso at Sports Illustrated yesterday, as you know, StarCast has become a huge event with our good friend Conrad Thompson, and it's going to be another StarCast that's happening around All Out on August 31st on Saturday. And CM Punk is going to be doing a meet and greet at StarCast, and he's also going to be doing a one-on-one interview. So,
which is as good as a main event match, just having a conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, the guy is very knowledgeable. I mean, his wrestling, you know, lineage is really strong. And even it's almost like Punk is a cult. He's like a character almost. Like, I mean, like, this guy is no way that it happened for real. Like, he's a legend. And that itself, the story of him leaving, is just as good as the story of his career.
You know what, Mark? You make an excellent point, and I didn't even think about it. And what you said is so true. And the fact that when it comes to CM Punk, and obviously he had a great career in the WWE. There's no doubt about it. Changed a lot. Changed the landscape in a lot of ways. He had one of the greatest promos of all time with that pipe bomb promo on Monday Night Raw. But as time has gone by, it's almost he's become like this mythical figure. Like, mm-hmm. The legend continues to grow. So he's probably bigger now than he's ever been. And if he ever made a return to a wrestling ring, that would be
number one again.
It would be fantastic. But it's always been that he is done with wrestling. He's put it in the rearview mirror. He had the ill-fated career in MMA. It's something that he dreamed about, wanted to do. He did it, got it out of his system. What he's doing now, I know he's doing some commentating for an MMA organization. But when it came to pro wrestling, he said kind of been there, done that. He had a really bad taste in his mouth. But now you're seeing him being a part of StarCast, doing a meet and greet with the fans, and then doing a one-on-one interview. Just saying, maybe this is a start of something more, or maybe this weekend could rekindle a little fire where the fire burns in CM Punk.
You know what, as a fan, I would hope so. I pray that it does, because it's so good for the business that we love so much. But just the excitement that Punk brings to the table. When he was announced, and that article came out in Sports Illustrated yesterday, everybody assumed that it was going to be wrestling and got super excited, right?
Yep.
What if, and it's a big what if, he gets there and just like you said, goes, I missed this. That would be awesome. And it would mean that we would benefit from it. because we get to see him perform again. That would be awesome.
And CM Punk is the one name that just won't go away. Whenever we talk about CM Punk, we have fans that are like excited, and then we have the fans like, stop talking about CM Punk. It's never going to happen. But it seems as we go further and further down the road, there's little hints that maybe it will happen one day. What do you think, Mark?
You know what, man? I don't know. Because where he is right now, he said that it's in his review. That, you know, it didn't love him back like he loved it. And I know what he means. I feel the same way about strongman and the same way about, you know, powerlifting. Olympic weightlifting is the only thing that I feel like loves me back. And if he feels that way, the way that I feel, then I understand him getting away from it.
And the other thing, too, when it comes to CM Punk, Mark, and I know age shouldn't make that much of a difference, but he is 40 years old. He's been away from pro wrestling now, what, 6 years? Over five years
now. Look at
now.
Triple H. He still looks as good as he ever looked in the ring.
True, but you would probably have to agree, Mark, and maybe I'm wrong, that when you're away for 5 years, it's going to take a lot for you to get back into ring shape. I know he did the MMA, but, I mean, he's going to have to get himself back into ring shape if he really did want to do it. And also, if he did want to do it, he's got to be 100% committed. And I would think that if he's kind of going back and forth and there's that unbalance in his mind, maybe it's just not smart to come back if you have even a little bit of doubt in your mind.
If you have doubt, then don't do it because you're going to get hurt. It's not a question if you get hurt. Maybe that's kind of where I am, Dave. Like, I don't want to get hurt. And also, I want to have a good quality of life, but I want to be able to spend time with my kids and my family and not feel like I'm a slave to the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Because Punk is always going to be at the top. So that means that he's going to be the last one to leave the arena. He's going to be on the road for 6 days a week. He's going to be getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning doing all the radio. He's going to be doing the morning shows at 6:30. And then get to the arena earlier because the show is based around you. So you got to do more. Like that whole doing more, expecting more. And knowing that in wrestling, we don't make the money that they make in NFL and NBA and Major League Baseball. So you have to be able to say, you know, deal with the whole money issue. Like sometimes it's you know, it gets daunting. And you feel like, you know what, this is not a war that I want to fight. And he may just don't want to fight that war no more.
Mark, let me ask you something, because you obviously are retired. You're going to be at the Raw reunion on Monday, and we're going to get into that a lot on Falls Count Anywhere Friday.
That's right.
But you retired. You stepped away from in-ring competition. You also do a lot of meet and greets, which is what CM Punk is going to be doing at StarCast. When you're around the fans, do you get a lot of fans that say to you, come on, Mark, you got one more match in you. Come on, Mark, don't say goodbye. It's time, you know, it's time to come back. We want you back.
Yes.
Do you get that from fans?
I get it every day. Come on, man, you got a lot left in the tank. I was like, I wish I never said that. But I always tell them, do you see the look on my face right now? I didn't have this smile on my face when I was working 220, 250 days. I miss my kids. My kids were really, I mean, the promo that I cut at my retirement, my kids were crying when I left because they didn't know when they were going to see me again. Come on, man. That should be enough. But on top of that, you go out there and you give your all, and sometimes you get, I want more from you. It's like, damn, I'm giving a lot. I want more. And it seems like nothing is, you know, you get to the point to where you're at the arena and your the stress builds up of topping what you did last week. That's what I started to fight too. Like this overwhelming feeling of I need to be by myself. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to nobody. I just want to think about what I have to do today and get through this day. Like that's, man, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. And I know I'm not the only one because when I go back and I'm around guys, they go, oh my God, look how fresh and relaxed you feel. Look at you. You're beaming. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And they like, yeah, man, I guess I'll get there one of these days. And that's the way the boys are. They're in a constant flux of being under high pressure to top themselves and to compete with all those other guys that's willing to throw their body on the line to get on TV.
The landscape has changed, though. Even the landscape has even changed in the last couple of years since you stepped aside and said goodbye. Like when it comes to CM Punk, obviously there's other options outside the WWE where the schedule might not be as tough. AEW probably being the biggest example. Plus the other thing too with CM Punk, since he's been away for so long, I'm sure there's a huge payday waiting for somebody like CM Punk. As far as I know, CM Punk doesn't have kids. You know, he has a wife that is a former pro wrestler, knows the deal, knows the schedule. It's a little bit different, like your situation, the CM Punk situation. If you were CM Punk and being the age of 40, healthy, the family situation that he has, knowing the love that the fans have for him, knowing that the landscape has changed, that he doesn't have to go back to the WWE where he was unhappy, plus the huge payday that would be waiting for him. If you were CM Punk, would you give it one more shot?
Okay, I'll take $1 million up front, and I'll do a 750, 800 downside, and let's go. 2 years, that's it. You know, you get 40. If he gets to where after that 2 years is over and he wants to renew, great. But you don't want to sign more than a two-year deal because you can almost, in 2 years, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, the pressure builds up too when you have all that. You have a long time and, you know, you feel like you don't want to overstep your bounds, you know. It's different, you know. You just gotta, if you're gonna draw money, you know how much money that there is out there. I mean, and wrestlers know. And if they feel like, you know, I'm not getting what I'm worth, I know what I'm bringing to the table marketing wise, that becomes an issue too. So, in a state like his, you know, you can say, you know, you're the Stone Cold Steve Austin, you're, you know, the Rock, you know, just, you know, pay me $1 million and, you know, it's going to be worth it.
Let me ask you one more question. Let's just say AEW, he's going to be doing this meet and greet at StarCast around AEW, doing this one-on-one interview at StarCast around AEW. Let's just say it's AEW, and I'm sure AEW is interested. AEW has Chris Jericho. AEW has, you know, the former Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley. Does CM Punk instantly become the biggest star in that company if he goes to AEW based on everything that's happened in the past?
Yes, he does. And you can market it that way. It's not just the individual. It's the presence that he brings and the following that he brings with him. People are going to buy tickets just because they want to see him. They're going to have their fan base. And they have a good fan base. But they would bring in everybody from all brands to see him. And that's the difference. There's not many of those Golden Circle guys, and he's one of them. And he just wants the circle to get bigger. He wants to be respected. Like, look what I'm doing for the company. Like, acknowledge the fact that I'm doing this. Like, that some people live like that. They want the recognition as well as the money.
And Mark, I don't think I'm speaking out of school here. His problem was with the WWE. He didn't feel like he was getting the respect he deserved. Even though he was champion, he was never in the main event. So I'm right in saying it was more about the WWE than it was about pro wrestling.
But he wasn't being selfish either. He said it was also the fact that people like Colt Cabana and the list of other guys that were working in the Indies, because they didn't look like a Greek god, they didn't look like John Cena, they couldn't get a job. They couldn't. That guy can't work. You mean to tell me that you got Ace Kelly on the roster and this guy right here that I know and that I talk psychology with, he can't get a job? What's the deal? What's the deal? And he won't, you know, some people want answers. I can't ask the question. It's kind of like I had a friend of mine that, you know, he's not a Christian. I don't know if you would say he's an atheist, but he was like, man, the Bible talks about fear, that you should fear me. Like, why would God want you to fear him? And I was like, bro, that's a conversation you need to have with somebody way smarter than me. I was like, but there are people that question the ultimate. Mm-hmm. And when you question the ultimate, sometimes the ultimate is like, why are you asking me a question about something that's out of your realm of of abilities? Like, I own it. Just do it. And you know what? Sometimes you do, and sometimes you say, well, I'm done with this. And he was done with it.
And now, being that, like, he didn't understand the philosophy of the WWE at that time, now you're talking about an organization like AEW, which is going to be, quote-unquote, competition to the WWE, where you can almost have, like, you know, the upper hand, so to speak, because you're going into another organization that's opposing the WWE. Now, I know that you don't want to call AEW competition. I know it's way too early to say that. But perception is reality here. This is... if Punk did want to come back, he couldn't find a better situation to come back to than what's going on right now.
I don't think so. I think that this is tailor-made. It's like, here you go. You wanted a platform. You wanted an equal footing with the marketing and the management and the ownership. Here's equal footing. You get to have a conversation. And not only do you have the conversation, you get to... if you come up with ideas and stuff, you get credit for those ideas. That you get paid more because you added more. You get more time, and if you deserve to be in the main event, you deserve to be in the main event, regardless of what else is going on. Sometimes you want to be put first. And all you got to do is, on Valentine's Day, watch all of the stuff that goes on around your house. Your wife, significant other, may not care about stuff. But on Valentine's Day, you got to put them first. That's the way it is in business. When you're at the top of the game, you want to be put first. Or at least have the option and the chance to earn that spot. And if you can't in that place, then you got to go somewhere else, go to another company. And that's kind of like how I think that people feel. It's not a definite, but it's just my opinion, you know, on the whole matter.
Yeah, and when he left in 2014, completely different right now, in 2019, Mark.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Let's bring the man in right now. It's the great Kenny King. Kenny, how are you today?
Man, that was a great introduction. I appreciate that. How's it going?
We're excited to have you. And the first question, Mark didn't want me to ask you this question, but I got to ask you. First question off the bat. Why so long since you've been on the show? I went back and looked. You haven't been on the show in seven years since the last time you've been on Busted Open.
I think I was X Division champion. Good morning, Mark. How's it going?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm just getting ready.
The most interesting man in Las Vegas.
I think now you might have messed around and hit me with a new gimmick there. I kind of like that. I might have to press into that a little bit because I feel kind of interesting. But to answer your question, Dave, I don't know. I think we saw each other. Where did we see each other?
At the Jericho Cruise.
That's where it was. We'd kind of made some plans to come back on. So I'm glad that I'm finally able to come back on Busted Open because you guys have been doing a really good job.
Well, thanks, Kenny. And it is cool to have you on because, like Mark said, you are interesting because you have a lot of interesting stuff going on inside and outside the ring. And how's life right now in 2019?
Life is good, man. I can't really complain. I could complain, but nobody listened anyway. I just signed a 2-year deal with Ring of Honor. I'm really excited about the direction of the company. Things are just good. I got a wonderful new lady that's going to ensure that I stay off of all reality dating shows for the next couple of years.
Told you, Dave.
It's going well.
All right, that's you know what, that you bring the significant other up. That's great. I'm happy for you. And yeah, you were on a couple of reality shows over the last few years, and then now you found somebody, and that's awesome because there's nothing like finding that perfect partner in life. And how did you meet the young lady?
I met her. We had actually. The story's funny because we talk about there's a verb called Vegasing, right? When you it's when you meet somebody and you might talk or text a little bit, but you don't really ever go out or meet. You just kind of fall by the wayside. It's just kind of how Vegas dating goes. So we Vegased each other after the first time we met, and then I actually went to Bachelor in Paradise, filmed it, and then we kind of reconnected maybe 2 or 3 days after I came back from Bachelor in Paradise, and we've been together every day since.
That's awesome. Wow. I guess
that made you go, listen, I'm going to call her tomorrow. I'm going to see her tomorrow.
Well, it was just, we just had a connection. You know what I mean? There was a spark. We had told when we met each other first, it was like, oh, she's, she's damn near 6 feet tall. She's beautiful. And, there was that. I was interested in her from the beginning. But we just couldn't connect. But the second time, it was just like that spark continued. The conversation was good, and it was one of those things. The story that we tell was I met her on a Sunday, and I'd asked her the first time I had asked her to go to lunch on a Tuesday or something like that because we met at this little lounge, Blue Martini Lounge, on a Sunday, and I'd asked her to go to lunch on a Tuesday, and I was flying out to the UK, I think, like that Wednesday, so we didn't link up, and so again, when I met her again, I was like, what are you doing Tuesday? And she kind of looked at me, and we made plans, and as the night went on, I was like, bump Tuesday, what are you doing tomorrow? And that's kind of how it went.
Is it tough, like, being a pro wrestler, being on the road like you are, and then finding somebody that's willing to put up with that type of schedule?
It's near impossible. So it is, and Mark will tell you, when you find someone who not only just understands the traveling and you being gone, but understands the business and how the business can, sometimes you take the business home and just all the things about the wrestling business, we all know isn't your regular average business. So someone who's willing to kind of take all those challenges and oddities on and still want to be with you is someone that you can't pass up, or me anyway.
Kenny, let's get into Ring of Honor a little bit. Like you just said, and congratulations, you just signed a new 2-year deal with the company. And you said you're really excited about the direction the company is going into. Explain that a little further, because obviously there's been a lot of change. A lot of wrestlers have left. Big name wrestlers have left the company. You know, what's this like? I mean, you're coming out the big event from Madison Square Garden, sold out Madison Square Garden. What's next for Ring of Honor?
Well, you know, I'll start with the negative, right? Because I've been through this a few times. This would be maybe the second or third time that I've been with Ring of Honor that the quote-unquote the sky is falling, right? The first time is when AJ and Joe left. I wasn't there for that, but I came in right after AJ and Joe left. And, oh, my God, AJ and Joe are gone. The company is going to crumble and fall apart. Didn't happen. Again, when Nigel and Brian left, oh, my God, Ring of Honor is going to be the same thing when, you know, when Roddy and Kevin and Adam Cole left. It happens periodically where it's just the name of the game. The business is such that talent will turn over. Talent will get new opportunities. But the thing about Ring of Honor, the core idea behind Ring of Honor is fantastic wrestling and fan enjoyment. And that is where whenever the sky is falling, the foundation is always that. You will always go to a Ring of Honor show and see top quality wrestling. You will always see some of the best wrestlers in the world doing what they do best. So what I'm excited about is just the reload, right? Every time that, you know, the sky is falling, the reload and that comeback has been so much, you know, it's been so much better. And if you look at some of the guys that we've got, you know, in the chamber, we reloaded with international stars like Bandito, a guy who is like Roosh, who's one of the top stars in Mexico, Dragon Lee, his brother, you know, some of the guys that are big names in the indie scene, got like Brody King, PCO. You know, these are names that aren't just being big in their 40-mile radius. These are guys that fly all over the world and have big followings, and now they're signed to Ring of Honor. So it's just a great feeling to know that, yeah, you know, I like to prove the naysayers wrong. I love to look at the ones that say the sky's falling, and when we reload with a guy with a Bandito versus Shane Taylor or a Kenny King versus Dragon Lee, which we're going to have on Sunday, then you see the state of the company is just fine.
On Saturday, you're here in New York City. That's always kind of like, to me, like the Hammerstein Ballroom is almost like one of the flagship arenas for Ring of Honor. It's still one of those great venues for pro wrestling, and you've had some great moments. What's it like for you coming back to New York tomorrow night?
It's kind of like you said, like the Hammerstein and like the ECW arena and maybe like the Frontier Fieldhouse in Chicago are like, I think, home court for Ring of Honor. Those are just places where we've had amazing memories, amazing shows, incredible moments have happened. So to come back to the Hammerstein after, you know, selling out Madison Square Garden, it's a special feeling because it's like coming back home.
Those arenas you try to outdo yourself, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to be upstaged by nobody. I don't care what they told me. I'm going out there and I'm stealing this shit. Like that, I love them arenas. Rosemont.
I'm from New York City, you know what I mean? So I can't let nobody come here and show me up in my damn city.
No, not in your house. I'm saying I'm going to call Jacob as soon as the show is over and I'm going to say, hey, Kenny King is wrestling in New York. My family is in the city, so I'm going to see if they want to come by.
Well, Mark, you know I got it.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, Mark, about, you know, tomorrow night and Kenny, because there's a lot of friction with a couple of different people that Kenny has with some of the roster of Ring of Honor. One is Rhett Titus, who is longtime tag team partner. There's some friction there, and Kenny's not happy about Jay Lethal getting an opportunity at Matt Taven's Ring of Honor championship. So, I mean, as of right now, do you have a match for tomorrow night at Manhattan Mayhem?
Trying to get my blood pressure all boiled up so more early in the morning, you know what I mean? I was out here doing my meditation, and here we go. Well, so let's get into it, right? As far as Rhett Titus is concerned, that's not anger. Everybody's got that friend that you need to maybe smack him upside the head with a little bit of tough love. And Rhett Titus is a phenomenal athlete. Bret Titus is a phenomenal wrestler, but Bret Titus's head ain't right. Hasn't been right for quite some time. The things that I said to Bret Titus on television last week, they might have been rough, they might have been brutal, and his wife certainly didn't appreciate that. And I'm not quite 100% sure that I didn't send his wife into labor with what I said, but you know, that's neither here nor there.
But was it true? You
know, it's true. That's it. Whatever I said was true. She knows it. He knows it. And whatever, if what I said is what it takes for Bret Titus to right the ship and turn back into a championship wrestler that I know he can be, then so forth. You know, you got to, what's the statement? You got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. I wasn't necessarily worried about Bret's feelings as I am worried about the direction of Bret's career. Now to go forward as to, the business at hand, look, man, I understand Jay Lethal's a franchise. I understand that he's Joe Koff's boy. Everybody loves Jay Lethal. But the last time we saw Jay Lethal, he was staring up at the lights underneath Ken King. So why does this dude get to leapfrog a guy who, one, beat him, two, outlasted 30 other dudes in Madison Square Garden in the Honor Rumble to win it? Where's my shot? So that also, not only does that make me mad at Jay Lethal, that makes me mad at Ring of Honor management, and it also kind of pisses me off at Matt Taven. Because I've been a real gentleman to Matt Taven as far as, you know, letting him be champ, letting him have his space. But
I let you be champion.
I'm letting him be a champ. He's my homeboy. I'm glad that he achieved his dream. But he always knew I was going to come knocking on that door. But now all of a sudden, when I call, Matt wants to pretend like he's not home. So somebody's going to have to kick that door in.
So you're Apollo Creed now. Rocky, I'm going to help you with this, but you're going to owe me a favor.
I don't think he owes me a favor, but I think the longevity of his title reign is certainly due to the fact that I haven't been focused on him. So you can call that what you want.
Man.
Kenny, let me ask you something. When it comes to Jay Lethal, and you said that he had he lost the title at the Garden. Matt Taven, your champion. He's had opportunities. Now maybe it's time for other people to have opportunities, like you said yourself. Would you? I always said that Jay Lethal was the quote unquote face of Ring of Honor based on the history, what he's done with that company. Is that a fair assessment of Jay Lethal?
I think that's a super fair assessment of Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal, my personal feelings and professional feelings aside, is the type of guy that you want to build a company around. Dude's integrity second to none, well-respected around the world, is a guy that is going to go out there and wrestle his heart out night in and night out. So, yeah, that's great to be the face. But when you have a guy like Kenny King who is legitimately the face, whose face you can see on ABC, on all of these worldwide platforms, on top of the fact that I'm skilled, on top of the fact that I'm great looking, on top of the fact that I've got all these things and you continuously overlook me for an old face, well, you know what I mean? Then that's why I felt like I had to put my size 13 boot on the face of Jay Lethal, which is now the face, which is the face of Ring of Honor. Hopefully somebody's going to notice.
Wow. Let that be said. I mean, that's how you do it, Dave. That is how you do it.
Well,
no hard feelings, but the truth is the truth.
You mentioned ABC, and when I was in Vegas and we spent a little time together, the first time I came out there for the Cauliflower Alley dinner, and then the next time I came out for the autograph sign-in that I did at StarCast, we sat and talked, we broke bread, and you told me that you were doing the entertainment section of the news and that's at ABC?
Yes, that's an NBC station, but it's a Sinclair station, but it's an NBC. So ABC, NBC, and that's the thing about this, the whole Bachelorette thing is open up so much different avenues. And so while I am even, still interested in wrestling while before the movie contracts and the endorsement deals come in, I feel like while I'm still here, I'm going to take it all over because sooner or later, they're going to come get me. They're going to come whisk me away. You know how these endorsement deals go, Mark. So sooner or later, they're going to come steal me away. And then y'all going to wish, man, we'd appreciate a Kenny King while we had the ability to watch him and all his graciousness and majesty in the ring. Y'all going to miss me when I'm gone. Trust.
Well, you're not gone yet. Just take it easy.
No, I can't go nowhere yet.
Yeah, you just signed a 2-year deal with Ring of Honor. You're not going anywhere at least the next 2 years.
It's just the future.
All right.
I'm always focused on the future.
All right, let's talk about the future. And you say you're focused on the future. I mean, you've had a great career. You know, former TV champion, former tag champion, former X Division champion. But you've never been a world heavyweight champion. Do you think that's because of lack of opportunity that you haven't been a world champion yet?
There's a certain a bit of that that's lack of opportunity. I never even got, I don't think, an opportunity to wrestle for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship in 3 or 4 years. I held the X Division Championship twice. You would think that would have given me, you know, a ticket to challenge. Mm-hmm. Haven't challenged. The golden ticket, if you will, Mr. Henry. I've only challenged for the Ring of Honor World Championship twice in 7 years.
Wow.
So, you know, I could bitch and complain and say, oh, this and that. But the proof is right there. I've held championship after championship, and the opportunities have been there. Now, mind you, I have stood alongside many a world champion. I stood alongside Austin Aries when he was Ring of Honor world champion. I stood alongside Bobby Lashley when he was TNA world champion. So my help, my influence has been all around. My fingerprints are all around world championships. But given the opportunity, you'll see what I can do. I'm not worried.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing you this weekend. How are you going to get involved in Manhattan Mayhem? Like I said, I don't think you have a scheduled match. How are you going to get involved?
Dave, if I told you that, then I might as well write it on Twitter, right?
My question is, how do we reach the powers that be and say, listen, we want to see Kenny King be champion, and the only way that's going to happen is if he has a championship match. Like, make it happen.
You know what? I'm tweeting right now. I want a championship match for Kenny King.
Here's the thing, guys. I got one in my back pocket. Right? This is why I'm so mad. It wouldn't be. It's not like I haven't earned one. I got one. I got.
But
damn,
that's what I'm saying. But you earned it.
I earned it.
When is it going to happen?
Somebody's playing games, Mark. This is all I'm trying to say. I'm not like Matt Taven where I want to complain about a conspiracy, but somebody's playing games. I got my shot.
Is Matt dodging you? Is he telling the promoters, like, look, I don't want to wrestle him?
Listen, I can't speak for that, but here's what I'll tell you.
Is it Joe Koff? Do I have to have a conversation with Joe Koff? Is that son of a bitch getting in the way of you getting a championship opportunity?
I used to see, you can say that because he don't sign your checks, right? So you go off. But I used to be able to pick up the phone, call Matt Taven, text Matt Taven to get one back. I got to go through Vinny. I got to go through TK to get a hold of Matt Taven.
Oh,
I'm about to put Matt
Taven
on blast.
You.
Yeah, I'm about to do Matt Taven the way 50 Cent does these dudes on Instagram and put his ass on blast and embarrass him, and maybe he'll call me back.
Do that.
Do that. You know?
I want to see that.
All I want is what's fair, Mark. All I want is what's mine, you know? I want to be like Jay Lethal. I want to be one of the few black heavyweight champions in history. Shout out to Jay Lethal for that because, you know, everybody, we all hail King Kofi, but people don't give enough credit to Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal was holding down.
They don't. They don't give enough credit.
At the same time. So
Dave pointed that out.
Props.
Thanks, Mark.
Whipping Jay Lethal's ass, I give him his props.
I mean, yeah. You're right. I would say if there's one wrestler right now in the world of pro wrestling that's underappreciated, it would be Jay Lethal. For what that man's been able to accomplish, and again, as a world champion, he's been in the studio, and I've told him to his face, like, I think he's underappreciated. You know, when we're talking about the best pro wrestlers in the world right now, Jay Lethal has to be in that conversation.
Well, the thing about Jay is that he's so good that people just expect him to be great. And so nobody's amazed when he is great, right? So that's the gifts and the curse of being Jay Lethal is that he's great, but nobody, but people sort of expect it. Well, I'll do you one better. If Jay Lethal's so damn great and I just beat him 2-1, what does that make me?
Ooh, hey, listen, we got a guy that is on our page that follows us heavily. His name is Rodney Garza.
Mm-hmm.
Get Rodney Garza to make a challenge for you against
Matt Taven right now for the championship.
And just he'll blow it up. I mean, he makes these awesome things, man. Like you gotta reach out to this guy.
No, this is Twitter. I'm now. You know what? We're gonna make this our chore now, Mark. We're gonna have this go viral. We want Kenny King to go up against Matt Taven. Now, listen, Joe Koff may not want it. You know what? It's what the people want. It's what the fans want. Kerry Sulkin may not. You know what? It's what the fans want. It's what the people want. And the people want Kenny King against Matt Taven for the Ring of Honor Championship.
You've got probably one of the top rated wrestling shows of all time on the radio right now, telling me what the people want. Joe Koff, I hope you listen.
We know he listens.
Kenny, we had a a while back we did a top 10 African-American wrestlers of all time. And I had The Rock first. And Dave, you got the list. I had The Rock first, Jim Mitchell, who I don't know if you know who Jim Mitchell is. And
I don't, but I gotta get my study on now.
Okay, now I'll send you his book. And
yeah, Kenny King at 11. He just missed the top 10. Kenny King was 11.
I'll take it.
But Booker said that I was wrong for not having JYD in my top 10, which I did say on the show the next day that I should move Bearcat Wright to 11, which would have bumped you down to 12, and put Junkyard Dog at 9. And he also disagreed with me having Carlos Colon on because he said Carlos Colon is Puerto Rican. And I was like, he is a black man. Like,
yeah, I mean, there are such things as Afro-Caribbean. That's a real thing.
But see, my point was,
Sammy Sosa used to be one.
Used to be.
Used to be.
The Dominican, he's the same color as poultry now, raw poultry now.
Well, you know, I think he used that. I saw something about, you know, how Playboy Buddy Rose had blow away. And the weight would blow away. I think this is a pigment thing where you can just rub it on your pigment and it'll just blow away. Sammy Sosa might be the inventor
Sammy
of that.
Sammy Sosa, bless his heart.
God bless
him. Bless his heart.
Bless his little heart. He didn't like being black. He changed it. He's white as this coffee cup I'm drinking out of.
And you know what, Mark?
They say you don't like something, change it. So I guess I didn't know you could do that. But
I didn't know you could do it either.
And here's the thing, Mark, you really dipped into history, you know, like Luther Lindsay, Sailor R. Thomas. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people, a lot of fans only look at like the golden era of pro wrestling. They look at
right,
the 70s and 80s,
now.
You know, and they don't go really back to the foundation because obviously those African-American wrestlers had a hell of a lot difficult. The job was more difficult back then than it is now. Imagine what it was,
man.
You know, 60, 70, 75 years ago.
And you can't even go in a restaurant. You can't go in a hotel. You can't drink out of the same water fountain. And you're traveling the world, wrestling all over. And the only respect you get is in the ring. You're not treated equally as a man. And then you have somebody like Luther Lindsay who had to go to Canada. Like, people would leave because the rights and the treatment that they got was so bad in America that they said, I just have to leave the country. How horrible is that? So,
I mean, it's the story that that we hear when it comes to, you know, Jackie Robinson, and we hear that story, but we don't think about those things. And we'll think about JYD and Ron and Bobo and those things. You know, we don't think about those guys having to really, really, really overcome that kind of stuff.
But you have to go by the timeline. And the timeline goes back. Jim Mitchell was the original guy that broke the color barrier. Like, everybody says that it was Bobo Brazil. And Bobo Brazil was right there at the end of it, maybe eight to 10 years after Jim Mitchell. But Jim Mitchell was the one that really fought those wars. He's the one that wrestled Gorgeous George in the Coliseum in Los Angeles. And there were no black wrestlers wrestling white wrestlers during that time. None. Only him. He traveled all over the world. He's got to be number two. The only reason I put The Rock in front of him, because originally I told Dave that I had The Rock at number two. And he said, what? I said, yeah, I put The Rock number two. And he said, well, I can see what Jim Mitchell's being the Jackie Robinson of wrestling. But The Rock is, you know, he was able to, you know, transcend not just wrestling, but, you know, the world. And I was like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the barriers that he broke may not ever be broken again. But
not only for black wrestlers, but for white wrestlers and anybody else. The mm-hmm. Rock has set a standard that's beyond entertainment. He is off Earth. He's not even on this planet. So I had to put him first.
He took that standard that Hulk Hogan had, as far as like he transcended entertainment. When I was a kid, you know, Hulk Hogan kind
of
transcended,
he did.
And he was this, and Hulk Hogan was that actually became a real life superhero. But The Rock has even taken that baton and gone to the street.
Yeah, he's probably the most recognizable star in the world right now. Like I and the people can recognize Lady Gugu, and she's great.
Love Lady Gugu.
But The Rock is the most recognizable superstar in the world.
On the planet.
Yes.
And you don't have to even have a television to know who he is.
Dave, does that mean that you are not coming with me to this Lady Gaga show?
Oh, is it Lady? Oh, it's Gugu. Is it Gugu? Gaga.
Is that what that means, Dave? Maybe not, this other ticket ain't, I shouldn't say this other ticket for you?
I'll go just to hang out with Kenny King, hang out with the King.
All right.
You know,
the King. But King, listen, I'd love for you to listen to the show next week. I'm going to ask Booker to come on and discuss this with us, because I want to enlighten him on who Jim Mitchell was, as well as I was not throwing shade at JYD. I made some concessions and some adjustments to my list. My list went 50. I did the top 50 African-American wrestlers in history. And I just limited to 10 because we only have 3 hours in the show.
Yeah, it's 3 hours. Right, show. Right. We're thinking of going with the 11-hour show, but the last minute we decided just to keep it to the 3 hours.
Yeah, just keep it 3 hours.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a lot to be said. And as far as Carlos Colon being not being black is wrong, because Puerto Rico is the place where they live. They're Puerto mm-hmm. Rican. That's not being Puerto Rican is not really a thing. They're Spanish and black African people mixed.
Absolutely.
And the same thing with Dominican Republic. You're not Dominican. You're of Dominican descent because you come from that island, but you are African Spanish.
How can you share an entire island with black people and not be mixed with black people?
I just right? don't understand it. And those islands were touched first when right. Africans came from Africa to North America. Like, we would do a history thing, but this is not a history show. And I can call the African American Museum and the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, Tennessee, and get Dr. Nicole on, and she'll be able to explain that a lot better than me.
Ooh, firepower.
Yeah, I'll use it. She actually came on the show before. Like, this is one of the most incredible historians of African-American history in the world. And she came on the show and enlightened us.
And I think the show's still available on the SiriusXM app for people that want to listen. They can go to the SiriusXM app and still listen to that show, Mark.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Sirius is over. I wish I was as over as Sirius.
Yeah, now, Alex Metz, our producer, is asking us to wrap up the interview. I can tell, Kenny, that you have other things going on. You have a daughter, and you're probably really, really busy, and you got to fly. So we got to let you go. I could talk to you for another hour, but I know you're busy. You're going to be here in Manhattan in less than 24 hours. So have a great show. Have a great weekend, and thanks so much for the time.
Listen, I really appreciate you guys having me back on. This is always it's such a great time. this is just, it's one of my favorite things that I get to do. So anytime, you know, let's not make it another 7 years.
Well, that's on you. That's, you know, I mean, I was calling Ring of Honor saying, can I get King on? They're like, Matt Taven's not available. I said, not that King, Kenny King.
You,
and then
no call back,
you know? Crazy. It's crazy.
Put him over, Dave. Put him over in the middle.
Kenny, thanks so much for the time, man.
Thank you, guys. Great talking to you.
Thanks for listening. Catch us weekdays on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.